Our service this Sunday was an all-age service, so the format of the service wasn't really good for recording. So I thought it would be helpful if I put a few thoughts online so that we do have a talk for you to listen to. And hopefully this is going to help you to engage with Psalm 103 this week. We're continuing with the subject of being hungry for God. We've been looking the first week around finding rest in God, then we looked at longing for God, and then waiting for God, and each week we've been giving out suggested exercises for you to try both at home and in your house group. So the idea is that throughout the week, together, we are seeking to become more hungry for God. We want to know God better, and that's what this series of sermons is about. So this week, we are looking at Psalm 103, and our theme is thanksgiving. I'm sure that when you were a child, you were taught to say thank you. I had it drummed into me by my parents that being polite was important. And of course, being polite is important, and we want to be polite to God. The problem, though, with being polite is that it really doesn't go far enough. God doesn't want us to be polite to him. God wants us to be really thankful. God wants our hearts to be full of gratitude towards him. And the more that we get to know God, the more grateful we will be. It's not that God stands there saying, be thankful or I won't be happy. But until we really learn to appreciate the sheer goodness of God, then we're going to struggle in our relationship with God. We need to grasp that this God really loves us. And in coming close to 103, the 103rd Psalm this week, hopefully all of us will be learning about this God, and hopefully gratitude will be coming up from our hearts. Now the opening couple of verses say, praise the Lord, O my soul, O my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all of his benefits. Now, I am suggesting that you work through the exercises. If you haven't got a copy, they are referenced on the church Facebook page. So look up Mills Hill Baptist Church and you can download them from there. Please do try them. I really would like you to take some time, if possible, every day this week, even if it's just a few minutes, to do something of these exercises. But this week, I'd like you to try something else as well. What I'd like you to try is praying short thank you prayers to God through the day. Now, this is going to need a little bit of discipline. So what I suggest you do, perhaps you could say this week, every time I have a drink or every time I eat something, I will just take a few seconds to say thank you to God for something. Or perhaps you might like to try, if you've got an alarm on your mobile phone, to set it to vibrate, say every 3 hours or so. And then you don't have to interrupt your schedule. You don't have to stop doing what you're doing. But just take a couple of seconds to say thank you. Try and cultivate this heart of love towards God. Now, God loves us. Psalm 103 is like a long bath in God's love. And in the notes, I draw attention to 4 verses. And we don't want to forget about these. So verse 4 says, let's get the right page here. Verse 4 says that God crowns us with love and compassion. Verse 8 says that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Verse 11 tells us, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Verse 17 says that from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Now, those are amazing verses. They are deep truths. And I hope that this week they can really get inside us. So that's why it's one of the things that I am suggesting to you this week is that you take time with these verses and you turn them into your own prayers. So thank God that he crowns you with love and compassion. Thank you. He is compassionate and gracious. Tell God that you're grateful for this. Thank God that his love is great for those who fear him. Say to the Lord, thank you. Your love is with us from everlasting to everlasting. And let these texts work deep within you. It is about learning to be thankful. It's learning to be grateful. That's what we want to be. but it's also about letting the truths go deep into our hearts. I hope that this week these texts will become texts that we know and love. And through these texts, we're going to get to know God better. So please just try and spend a little bit of time with these texts every day this week. Let them speak to you. Now, the first couple of verses going back to them tell us not to forget what God has done. The key thing about thanksgiving is remembering. We will thank God for the things that we remember that he has done. Of course, one of the key acts that we do together as Christian believers is we take bread and wine. We do this regularly. And as we do that, we remember what Christ has done for us. Now, in this psalm, verses 3 to 5, the writer thanks God for what he has done. He thanks God for the benefits of being a believer. And he's already summed himself. He says, all my inmost being praise his holy name. So actually, he's giving himself quite a discipline here. Not a polite thank you, but actually talking to himself. This is one of the things that we've looked at before in this series. We need to learn to talk to ourselves. So he talks to himself and he tells himself, give your praise to God. He calls upon his very inmost self to say, thank God. So as you are remembering, don't just say, thank you, God, and think that you've discharged a duty by doing that. Call upon yourself to thank God. Call upon yourself to grab hold of these truths that God is giving to you. So the person who writes this psalm thanks God. God has forgiven his sins. God has healed him from diseases. And that's not just physical. He's healing him of whatever is wrong in his life. He redeems his life from the pit. The psalmist has been rescued from death. He crowns him with love and compassion. He satisfies his desires. And it says his youth is renewed like the eagle. Some of us want that. Some of us perhaps have lost our passion for God and we want God to give it back to us. So what I'm suggesting you do this week is to take time to remember good things that God has done for you. It may be that as you remember them, you will see their significance in a whole new way. Now, when I say remember, it might have happened today. It might have happened yesterday or last week. It might be stuff that happened a very long time ago. It doesn't matter. The important thing is that we are remembering things that God has done so that we can be grateful. You know, it's very easy to forget what God has done. That's why the psalmist talks to himself in the way that he does. He says to himself, forget not, do not forget the things that God has done for me. So take the time out this week to remember. In fact, what I suggest you do this week is you get a pen and paper or write them on your mobile phone or however it is you remember things. But actually, over this week, try and put together a list of things that God has done for you. So over the week, you've got this list that is growing. And by the end of it, you're saying, well, yeah, I really do have good reason to be grateful to God. I've remembered. And the more you remember to be grateful, the hungrier for God I hope you will become. Because you won't look at the list and say, wow, I've got everything I need. But it will spur you on to want God to do more within your life. Now, the next couple of verses, verse 6 and 7, tell us that God works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. God cares deeply about injustice. Now, on Sunday at our all-age service, we were trying to do one or two things about this. We were doing shoeboxes for people around the world, for children who need gifts. We were collecting for Wood Street Mission so that children will have presents who otherwise might not have any. Now, these are issues of justice. I praise God that one day God inspired somebody to set up Operation Christmas Child because God cares for children and he put that care into somebody. And getting Christmas presents for children who would otherwise not have them, it's not really charity, it's justice. It's not right that only the children of rich parents should get good Christmas presents. We want everybody to get good Christmas presents. And many, many years ago, you know, over 100 years ago, God inspired someone to set up what we know today as Wood Street Mission. And he saw the poverty that was around us. And he said, in the name of Jesus, we can do something about this. So I praise God because these organisations show us something of God's heart. We've also been thinking in our service, the all-age service that we did, about the local food bank. And it has needs at the moment. It needs new accommodation. But we praise God that God cares about justice. He does not want his people to go hungry. So thank God that he is somebody who works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And let that touch your heart. You know, it would be easy to look at this text and say, what should I do? That's a really good question. But my advice, first of all, is trying to grab something of God's heart. God is passionate for justice. He hates it when people are treated unfairly. He hates it when people go hungry. He hates it when children are victims. Praise God that churches recently have been standing up for children at Calais. And yes, there are issues and some of them are difficult. But there are some people who are saying, we are so grateful that it is the church who's standing up for this. God is motivating his people to do the right thing. And these verses also say that God has made his ways known to Moses. God liberated people who were in slavery. God hates slavery. And God inspires people to do something about it. Praise God for the campaigns that there are in our world to release people from slavery. Now, it's not all Christians who are doing these things. Lots of people are involved with this. But praise God, it shows his heart. And praise God every time people get his heart. So you may want on this stage of your prayer to pray for situations that need God's help. It's good to do that. But above all, think about God's character. Think about who God cares about. Think about the way he is passionately against injustice and worship him. Offer him thanks. You know, it's not obvious looking at the world that the God who made this world and sustains this world is somebody who cares passionately about justice. But the great news is, and we've learned this as Christian believers, he is. He's been revealed to us in Jesus. But that's another story. Or rather, a different part of the same story. And then we move on to verses 8 to 12. And these verses talk about forgiveness. Now, at the all-age service, I did a little illustration of this where I got a bit of string and I gradually unraveled this roll of string. And every time there was me at one end and there was a child at the other end. And every so often I'd stop and I'd say, right, has God separated us from our sin by this distance? And we know the right answers. And people would say no. And eventually we'd use this whole huge line of string. And of course, God has taken our sin further than that. Now, because our theme is Thanksgiving this week, what I want you to do is really to seek to enjoy your forgiveness. You know, some of us are still carrying the weight of stuff that we've done wrong. We think, wow, there's so much in my life that I could have done differently. Yes, that is true. But here is the great news. God has forgiven us. And we as Christians know that. We come to God and we come to worship him. And sure, we've done loads of stuff that we shouldn't have done. But God accepts us and God loves us. This is the place of love. This is the place of acceptance. And I am delighted that I worship a God like that. Now, the person who wrote the psalm knew this. He grasped that that was God's character. How much more do us who know the story of Jesus know that God is a forgiving God? There's some fantastic lines in these verses between verses 8 and 12. It talks about God being slow to anger. Yeah, God can get angry, but he's very slow at it. You know, some of us perhaps think God's anger is quicker than it is, and that spoils our relationship with him. He's somebody who doesn't always accuse. He's somebody who takes our sin away from us as far as the east is from the west. That's the answer to the question, how far has God taken our sin away? So today, let's try and revel in the love of Jesus. As the song I used to sing, we used to sing in church goes, Jesus, we celebrate your victory. Jesus, we revel in your love. His mercy is free. It comes to us through Jesus. Thank him for it. God could be different. God could choose to act in a different way, but his forgiveness reveals his incredible love towards us. He's got compassion for his children. And then the next set of verses, from verses 13 to 18, it talks about our weakness. Now, the way we illustrated this at the all-age service was I got some of the children to go out into the church grounds and bring in some leaves that had dropped on the floor. Got into a slight trouble for doing this because I didn't realize it was raining at the time, but I guess I've been forgiven for doing that. But the children brought in the leaves, and I asked them to give a dead leaf to everybody who was in the congregation. And I said, take a look at this. What do you see? And people made some fairly obvious comments. No, it's brown. It's dead. It's wrinkly. It's all crinkled up. It's already started to decompose. Somebody said, yeah, but the veins are actually still in the leaf. But these leaves stand for our frailty. The truth is, as we come to worship God, we're not around for a long time. We all have short lives. All of us are frail. All of us are weak. All of us are going to die one day. All of us find there's bits in our character that we don't particularly like. And a fantastic thing here that we're being asked to thank God for is that God knows our frailty. He understands our weakness. The thing is, you know, when we come to God, we might think, oh, God is the judge. God will tell us off. Yes, he is the judge, but he absolutely understands where we are coming from in a way that nobody else does. Now, God has come to this earth in Jesus, and he has shared the experience of being human. That's what it says in the New Testament. But the psalmist knew that, although he didn't know the story of Jesus. He understood that when God called him, that he was a weak, frail person. The New Testament talks about us having spiritual treasure in clay pots. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, but the wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. It won't be that long before there isn't a single person on this world who remembers James Pate. And there certainly won't be anybody who knew this James Pate. But here is the good news. Verse 17. The Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. God's love is with me today. That love that is from everlasting to everlasting. Wow. I am frail. I have a short life. I am weak. But God loves me from all eternity. That is what I want to thank God for today. I want to say to God, you love me. You care for me. You know my weakness. You understand my frailty. And today you are listening to what I've got to say. I am so grateful to God for that today. And I hope that as you work through these things, and what I'm suggesting you do in this section is have a conversation with God about the things in your life that make you feel weak. And I guess there will be quite a lot of them. You may feel you're under some sort of attack at the moment. You may feel things are going badly in your life. You may feel you've been mistreated. It may be your physical or your mental or your spiritual frailty that you are feeling so intensely just now. But offer that to God. And the thing is, you can offer it to God because he understands. So often in life, we feel people do not understand us. We try and share what's on our heart, and perhaps they just tell us what to do. I can think of several stories in my head of people who have said that to me. You know, I tried to say what was going on in my life, and this person just gave me a solution, but they didn't understand. Here's the great news, people. God does understand. Let's tell him about our weaknesses this week. And then I suggest that you look at the last few verses of this psalm and speak them out. So I'm going to do that now. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. And then finally, the punchline of the whole psalm, praise the Lord, O my soul. The psalm begins with those words and it finishes. When the person who writes this psalm has looked at everything, he talks to himself once more and he says, praise the Lord, because that's the right thing to do. And my hope is that this week we will really get to grips with some of God's character. We will have our hearts moved so that we will really want to thank him. So all the best with Psalm 103 this week. May the Lord bless you as you look at it, and may you be even hungrier for God at the end of this week than you were at the beginning.